Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Miss Angela Marshall. She's married to former NFL football player, Mr. Arthur Marshall. How are you this morning, Miss Marshall?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Miss Butler?
I'm doing good. So you are now a motivational speaker, author, inspiration call. You now call Woman of Wise Words. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is Wise Words Woman. And that just simply comes from, I guess, over the years, all of the inspirational, motivational quotes, the different text messaging that I send out all over from friends to even on my, I have a few Facebook business pages, and I do the same thing every day. I don't miss a beat where I am constantly giving positive powerhouse words to, you know, to those that are in need, as well as myself. Like, I think what some people kind of get, you know, they misunderstand is that a lot of times when I post things, it's actually stuff that I'm going through as well. So I post this to liberate myself as well as free others. And thank you for having me on the Angela Butler Show. I really appreciate it.
It's Show Talk with Angela Butler, but thank you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. Okay, ma'am.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
You are from Augusta, Georgia. Are you still living in the state of Georgia, Ms. Marshall?
Yes, I do reside in Augusta. I travel, obviously, globally. Now that I am, you know, trying to spread my message, the story and life of an ex-NFL wife. But, yes, I do reside. Augusta, Georgia is home. Hi to all Augusta, Georgia listeners.
Oh, okay. All right. You're also a motivational speaker, published bestseller author, columnist, creative consultant, ex-NFL and business owner of In Other Words by Stone. You have talked with their expertise.
Yes.
The clue, but not
yes.
limited to convert the downs and live twins, making positive plays different than the scores that do not count.
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, so
wow, that sounds like a lot.
It
seems like I'm really busy.
Yeah, yes, it does. Yeah, you learned a lot. You're very wise.
Hey,
so,
let me tell you, my life definitely taught me a lot.
Yeah. So how do you convert the downs in life to wins?
So basically converting the downs in life to win is any stumbling block that you may be facing is turning it into a stepping stone. It's understanding that mistakes are going to be made, you know, and even though, you know, we made bad choices in life, there may be consequences, or usually there are consequences, but it's you know, just really turning that loss into a win for you, not letting it defeat you no matter what. Getting back up, or as I often say, getting off the bench and getting in the game of life. So that's what converting the downs in life to wins. That's what that is.
Okay. So kind of like football that your ex-husband, former NFL player Arthur Marshall, you make positive plays every day in the score. So it's kind of like you're playing football, but you're not really playing football. You'd like to talk about that?
Oh, here's the thing. You know, I believe anytime you build a business or you're building a brand, you have to have something rare and unique to bring to the table that kind of separates you from others. So, yes, the story and life of an ex-NFL wife or ex-NFL wives or NFL wives are in abundance. But what sets me apart is just the ability for me to be able to go before others when I am, you know, in an empowerment setting, when I'm in an inspiring setting, motivating setting, and utilize sports terminology. Because one thing I do, I say quite a bit, is I love the confidence of athletes. Every athlete, professional, whether it's baseball, basketball, soccer, you know, they all have the same thing in that drive, determination, and focus. Like, they do not give up no matter what. And even though they've played 100 games or maybe they've missed 100 shots or they've fumbled 100 balls, they still get back into the game. I'm really fascinated with that. And it's just one of those things where I decided to incorporate that into my motto, into my vision, and into my mission in life, because I just felt like a sports, you know, sports analogies would help people to really get rah-rah, because, you know, just something about sports where you seem, you know, you get excited and you get, you know, you're ready. So that's why I utilize sports analogies a lot in my speeches or in my book. Definitely is throughout the entire book where I talk about taking a knee. I talk about passing, punting, different, you know, making different plays. So that's the whole premise behind having, you know, a sports analogy.
Okay. All right. Sports analogy. That
yeah.
makes sense. You didn't play sports professionally, I don't believe, did you?
No. Honestly, Ms. Angela, I never had the temperament for it, you know, because you have to be able to take hits and take licks and, you know, elbows and whatnot and be okay with, you know, keeping your head in the game. And I don't think I would have done that. But I've been around athletes my entire life, like my ex, obviously my ex-husband, and, of course, cousins have played. And then our two children, Arthur and Auburn, they were both, you know, very good athletes as well. And now my grandchildren, I have grandsons and two granddaughters as well. They're not biological, but they're still mine. And everybody's in sports. So it's like, you know, I can't get away from it. My life is just destined to either be in a stand somewhere or in a bleacher, you know, somewhere. And I'm more than happy to, you know, to do that, to not only cheer for them, because cheering for them on the sidelines, it also, you know, like I said, it makes me not want to be a spectator, but to get off, you know, get off the bench and get in the game myself. So, yes, I am definitely a sports mom, a sports grandmother, and I love sports. I love athletes in general. I just love athletes. Yes.
Okay. Is anybody ready to go pro? Would you like to share that, or you're not allowed to?
Well, they're actually, well, they're too young right now. But, you know, here's the thing. If I look at it this way. So, you know, if that's the path that they choose, great. If not, you know, they have brains, they have intellect, and they have other options, a lot of other options to where they can definitely, you know, do some things, whether it's be an engineer or be a teacher or CEO of some sort. So, yeah, now my ex-husband or my son would probably like for the grand boys to follow, or one of them at least, to follow in his footsteps and be, you know, professional athlete. But if not, yeah, you know, we have so much more to us than just sports, you know. But I just like I said, just the drive and the determination of athletes. That's what I identify with now. I haven't always done that because, you know, for a while there I was sitting idly, and I was just, you know, on the sidelines as a spectator. But, I've grown to understand why they are so driven.
Okay. I was reading an article of yours, and I'm going to read it verbatim, okay? Word for word. In a world filled with trends, statues, division, stereotypes, violence, and hatred, fear of the unknown, an Uncharted has a way of framing closed minds and blinding eyes. Straight, gay, black, white, overweight, bulimic, nappy, relaxed, wealthy, underprivileged, scholar, uneducated, articulate, or ignorant should never be a compromise for life. For far too long, society has encouraged cookie cutters, guilt, or innocence. If you look like me, talk like me, or share the same lifestyle as me, it is an automatic assumption that I vote, protest, and I agree with you. The judicial system and society would like to perpetrate the notion that justice has no limits nor boundaries, but unfortunately it is filled with those classifications. The person with the tattoo and pierce is labeled a freak. The black female with four children is unemployed, is labeled lazy. The white guy with gelled hair and feminine mannerism is labeled gay. The white woman dating or married to the black guy is trailer trash. The white woman dating or married to the black guy is trailer trash. And the black male with a gold grill and less than stellar pass is labeled a threat. I believe in the benefit of the doubt. Chance and spirit happens to all of us, and it is my belief that most people attempt to live by the affirmation that when you know better, you do better. I'm not ignorant to injustices and prejudice being inflicted on the innocent. I do not promote nor condone those that allow it or perform the act themselves. Sometimes you should not be guilty by association. And also, birds of a feather do not necessarily flock together. While the recent incidents occurring across the world, I felt the need to express my thoughts, being a person of integrity, compassion, and social morality. I am saddened by the color lines destroying factual and concrete evidence while also burning the weaker bridges of the socially conscious. The ongoing racially motivated divide needs no further assistance enlarging itself. It has the media, the foolish, unrelenting pretense of ignorance to fuel this damaging fire. You talked some about the criminal justice system.
Yes, so in that particular article,
you talk about how physically people have, black people have come to days of slavery. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Jim Crow era, and the Freedom Riders, but in some records we're still enslaved mentally. Yes.
So, yeah, so is that the Justice is Blind article?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, okay.
Justice is not blind.
Justice is not blind. Okay. Well, yeah, that's correct. Okay, yeah. So I penned that article after, I guess, you know, quite a few discussions that I had with some colleagues of mine during the time that I was in corporate America because, again, you know, there so many times I think that light-skinned people, such as myself, are viewed differently. You know, it's like black people view you one way. Of course, you know, white people view you or Caucasians view you another way. And it, to me, when I talk about justice is not blind, to me, I feel like a lot of times, you know, where people say that they have unbiased opinions, that's not true. There is a bias. And I've just found that more and more, you know, as the older I get, the wiser I get, and the more in tune I get with different, you know, social issues and cultural issues, that there is a strict divide. And the divide isn't, you know, it's not fair. It's most times it's not on this. It does not, you know, go to the side of who's right. It's just what color are you? You know, how do I identify with you? If I identify with you as, you know, my sister, you know, regardless of whether you're innocent or you're guilty, yeah, you know, I may or may not side with you. So one of the reasons why I wrote that article is just because I was feeling, you know, quite a bit of turmoil and different things, perceptions that was being heaped on me. And that's one that is definitely a stigma where, you know, because I'm light-skinned, that's how my ex gravitated towards me because, of course, he's black. And, you know, the stigma is professional athletes gravitate to light or white women or exotic or foreign, you know, foreign descent women. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, touch on that a little bit in that particular article. So that's why I penned that article.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Maybe in the NFL, but all black men do not prefer light-skinned women. It's just what I believe is most men try to get sons of women, mm-hmm. try to get a woman that's as close to their mother as they can because the first, I've always believed and been taught that the first woman a man falls in love with is his mother. And
okay.
Like, and vice versa. Little girls, the first man they fall in love with is their father.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
not
yeah, so now the article,
I'm not
the
talking about incest.
Not, right, okay, yeah. Well, the article is not in promotion of that. That stigma is correct, but that is a consensus. The way that most society feels that, you know, most successful men, not just professional athletes, they feel like most successful black men will either gravitate towards light or white. That is the stigma as far as like in my circle in, you know, and what I've witnessed and what I've dealt with. So yeah, I wasn't giving it a stamp
okay.
of approval like saying that it's right. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
You're very wise. I like a lot of what I see and what I'm reading about you. You've been on the world's most amazing people. I mean, you've probably been through a lot, but I'm
yes.
sure I'm certain that God has blessed you. You write about going from a hourly job to a six-figure salary.
Yes. That is correct. I started definitely in the words of Drake's song, I started from the bottom, and actually I've started over many times, and I think that's one of the great strengths about, you know, having a great circle and support system, because you do, like you don't give up no matter what, no matter how many times you fall. I think that saying is, you know, fall 7 times, get back up 8. Well, mine is fall 80 times, get back up 90, you know, because I have.
Okay.
I've gone through. yeah, I've gone through a lot. And I will say this, you know, I'll be the first to admit a lot of the stuff that I went through, I, you know, encountered it because of me. You know, it was choices that I made. It was decisions that I made that weren't right or that were, you know, during my reckless my reckless life or my reckless mindset, should I say. So, yeah, you know, it is my prayer that, you know, I continue to just, as I am enlightened, that I can enlighten others, as well as just making, you know, making a difference in the lives of others. That's what I try to set apart for myself. One of my mentors mentioned to me, and he said, you know, listen, you know, there's motivational speakers and there's inspirational speakers. While I want you to motivate and inspire, I want something that you say, I want something that you do, something that you write about to also, you know, give the person that is in attendance, I want them to be able to implement some sort of change to help their life. You know, not just a rah-rah session for like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and then they go back to, you know, whatever the mindset is that is either destructive or unsuccessful. You want to actually positively impact people. So, hence, that's where I got the Wise Words Woman tag from. Yes.
So, Ms. Marshall, what was it like being married to an NFL football player? I know some things happened with his mortgages and things, but what was it like in the beginning?
Well, in the beginning, I was very intimidated by the newness of our surroundings, you know, with the lavish lifestyle. And, I mean, just, you know, coming into an abundance of money. And, I mean, it was just very, very different from the subdivisions or the suburbs, the houses, the cars, the mentality. It was just very different, and it was very scary for me initially. I think probably about the first 3 years while in the league, it was overwhelming for me. And then, you know, you couple that with two young adults that have two children, and we're trying to actually bring up the children the best way that we know how, but we're still learning as we go. So it was, I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of depression, a lot of depressing moments, should I say. But, you know, overall, it was when I look back over on everything, it was an amazing experience. Just the people that I met, the majority of them were wonderful. They were, you know, very helpful. And I think that I know that had I been in a different mindset, I would have definitely gravitated and enjoyed the NFL experience would have been very different for me, and I think it would have been one where I would have grown a lot and, you know, possibly been more confident. But initially, it was very scary, you know, because it was unknown. Now, for my ex, it was great for him because his entire life, you know, he's been confident. Nobody's better than me. Nobody can do this. I want to do, like, he knew who he was very early. He identified, he defined himself, so it's very easy for him. But also, you know, being in the NFL or being an NFL wife, having things done for you, I mean, the red carpets being rolled out and whatnot, it was definitely all of that. It was an experience. I call it was like roller coaster at Magic Kingdom, where, you know, you're going up and you see, you look out and you see all the beauty that the Magic Kingdom, you know, has to offer. And then as you're going down, it's like, you know, a little scary and intimidating. But overall, it was a good experience, and I would not change a thing. I would not trade it, because obviously it afforded the woman that you are speaking to, the woman that your listeners are listening to right now, and then also the person that is, you know, out to make a change and make a difference in the lives of not only myself, but in the lives of others as well.
Yeah. Okay, I would like to know how you did it to spread your income. but anyway, congratulations on that. I did not make six figures.
Got you.
So what was it like being on I Like eBooks, Hometown Reads, World's Most Amazing People? What did you do on World's Most Amazing People?
So basically, each one of those outlets interviewed me just as you are, at different stages, might I add. Matter of fact, the Hometown Reads, the I Like eBooks, Write Globe Now, Write the Book Now. Those were like my earlier because I've been doing this almost 3 years now, so that was during my earlier career. So, of course, you know, I was a little more intimidated, a little more quiet in my interviews. But now it's like, now that I know, the more I tell my story,
I hear happiness. I hear happiness in your voice also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, when I tell you I'm free, like I'm free. People ask me, I have been asked the most outrageous questions, and to be able to tell the truth is so freeing. I mean, it really is, because it's like, here's the thing that I have. If I tell you my truth, your lies don't matter. So it doesn't matter about the gossip or the rumors or the guilt or shame that people try to heap on you. I'm just free. I am free to be me, and that's a beautiful thing. So that's my goal, is to just really, help others to understand, like, walk in your truth, walk in you, walk in the uniqueness and the rarity of you. You know, one of my affirmations that I say every morning when I get up is, hey, Angela, the world needs you. The world needs you because it's overcrowded with everybody else. So be you.
Yeah, that's right. Be me. Yeah. I try to do that as much as possible. It's not always easy because I'm in a small town. You know, I'm faring well. I'm doing okay with my show, but, you know, other things I would like to see different.
Yes.
So,
yes, that is correct.
Basically, the things you have did not only benefited yourself, but you're not in a position to help other people.
Yes. And that's the goal. You know, I said that on an interview that I did last night with Trey Downs. Like, I believe that all of us were put here to be in service, bottom line. And I also believe that giving back is a priority. It's not optional. You know, I think that, you know, if you were once on the bottom of the ladder and you were trying, and you climbed and other people, you know, helped you get to the top or helped you, you know, or are still helping you climb, it is your duty for you to reach back, reach out, you know, reach down or whatever to help someone else to get what they need. And not only that, you know, just giving back, whether it's to the youth, you know, imparting wisdom, just being in service is key, bottom line. And to me, I do believe that it is definitely not optional. It's something that we must do, you know. And I don't do it. Like, I know some people say, well, if you be a blessing, you'll get blessings. Well, I do it just to be a blessing. The blessings just come regardless. But, yes, I do believe that we were put here to be in service.
Okay. Well, you believe that people are put here to be in service, and that once you become successful, it's your duty to reach back.
Well, I think even if you haven't attained, yes, that is correct. But I think, you know, I'm going to say one step further. Even if you have not attained or achieved the level of success, like I haven't achieved the level of significance or success that I want, that I visualize, that I'm on a mission for. But any time that I can, you know, reach laterally, that I can reach, you know, just in any way to help another person that is an author on the rise or a speaker or subject matter that I can help someone to be their best self in. And even if I can't help them, I'm looking for someone who can. You know, I'm looking to connect them with someone who can. Because, you know, I just believe in when you have a vision and you have a mission and, you know, you understand what that is, and then, you know, you couple it with, okay, now this is my purpose. You found your purpose in life. Yeah, it's a no-brainer to be able to help someone to reach and achieve their goals. So any way that I can do that,
I understand
that.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. That makes plenty of sense. It certainly does. Everything you're saying does. I still would like to know about that six-figure income, though. I'm sorry if there's any noise in the background. apologize.
Well,
I feel like learning about that six-figure income.
Okay.
That's great. I believe Atlanta has a lot of opportunities. Atlanta does.
Yes.
So.
I think everywhere has opportunities. It's not just, you know, like the metropolitan areas. I think that if you have a dream, or when you have a dream and you have the drive and determination, you can make it as big as you want it to be, or it can be as, you know, as small. But it's going to take, you know, the sacrifice. And it's going to take, as I mentioned in one of my empowerment sessions for women, it's going to take grind, it's going to take growth, and it's going to take grit. So, you know, and you can't get disgusted or discouraged. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you this story really quickly because I love this one. I get Cash App and or PayPal notifications. I got a Cash App notification that someone bought my book, and I got $14.40. And I was just as happy as if it was $1,400.40 because every cent, every dollar matters. You know, so I think that having that mindset that, you know, hey, I'm in this thing to win it. I'm in it to, again, not just to, you know, just to make money. Of course, I'm going to be rewarded because these are the gifts that God has instilled in me. This is what he has given to me to share with the world. So, you know, the money will come. But trust me, making the six figures, that was over a 10-year period. And it was not like it was easy or like I did not have to sacrifice time with my children, with my family, you know, with my friends from time to time. But, you know, at that particular time, it was all worth it. And for me to be able to climb the ladder again and, you know, whatever the salary is, whatever the resources are that are coming for me now or that I have now, I'm just thankful. I really, really am, and I'm grateful, and I'm determined. I'm not giving up, I'm not giving in, and I'm not giving out no matter what.
Yes, I like hearing you say that because I understand what people might try to shame you because of the mistakes your husband made with his company. But that's not necessarily a reflection on you. To try to shame you and embarrass you and humiliate you is not the way to do things.
But yes,
I have it done to me all the time.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah,
one thing I don't do is be judgmental and critical because, you know, I have this saying that for every skeleton I have in my closet, you know, somebody else's, their cousin skeleton is in their closet. So I don't worry about that. You know, I don't worry about what people say, whether they talk about him or me or my children or our life or our walk. Because, you know, ultimately we're all trying to do the same thing, which is just, you know, live to the best of our ability. Are there mistakes being made? Absolutely. Are there, you know, poor choices and bad decisions? Absolutely. But again, you know, it's not like you can't come back from it. It's not like if you want to. It's not like you can't come back from it. It's not like you can't, you know, change things around and become a better person. That's why I typically, when people tell me something about somebody, I wait to meet that person, interact with that person, and formulate my own opinion. Because, you know, I know I was once a wretch, a wretch undone and done and however they say it in the hymnal. So, you know, who am I to look upon other people and, you know, and put them down? Even my ex, even myself, different things that we've gone through. Nope, not at all. I don't believe in judging or criticizing at all. Nope, not gonna do it.
Great, that's great. I hope you have a friendly relationship or a cordial friendship after, you know, everything. Even though you're the two of you are divorced.
Yes, it took us a while, but we do.
Yes. But that's a blessing. It helps with your children, too, who you said are athletically gifted or inclined. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I agree.
Yeah. So we don't have but about five more minutes.
Okay.
For the show. One of my questions is, one or two questions. How do you feel You said you have 2 sons, right?
No, I have an amazing son and an amazing daughter. So our son is 30 and our daughter is 28. Arthur and Auburn.
Do you ever worry about your son or grandchildren, that the female and the males in the current climate of racism that we're going through feels sometimes like the 60s, even though I wasn't born in the 60s, towards your grandchildren? Are you concerned about the hatred that's there in America, the world even?
I think there's a certain degree, should I say, of concern for my children and grandchildren, my family members, my friends, anytime any of us walk out the door or we're, you know, potentially could be faced with certain situations. But, you know, we have instilled so many good values and morals and strength into our children, and prayerfully our children are instilling that into our grandchildren. You know, we're grandparents, so it's only so much that we can do. But, yeah, there is a certain level of or degree of concern. But, you know, I just tell them, hey, just, you know, live your life. Do right unto people. You know, do your best to be your best for people, you know, to be in service. And, you know, we can't control how another person thinks or speaks or, you know, how they may try to act towards you. But you can absolutely control yourself. That's the one thing you can't control. So, yeah, there's a certain level of concern there, but it's not enough to where I feel like, you know, we walk around all day where we're intimidated or we feel threatened by society, you know, because of discrimination or anything like that. I mean, you know, we're just going to keep pressing forward. All of our forefathers and everyone else did, you know, they didn't let the down talk, they didn't let the negativity get them, you know, like Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King Jr. and so many others. Nelson Mandela is just, you know, they forced ahead no matter what they were faced with. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I try to live by and I try to instill in my children as well.
All right. Positivity, positivity. Yeah, and of course, I believe there's some faith there too, a lot of faith there.
Yes.
All right, Ms. Angela Marshall. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm happy for you that you found success. And I hope you reach all your goals and you stay blessed, and you're welcome to come back on Show Talk with Angela Butler with your inspirational, very inspirational, motivating message.
Well, thank you so much for having
me
on Show Talk.
Yes, ma'am. Where can people go to listen to your to get you to speak or contact you or to buy a book? Where can people go to do these things?
Yes, so that would be inotherwordsbystone.com. So www.inotherwordsbystone.com. You can Google Angela Marshall, Augusta, Georgia. My books are all over the place, whether it's iBooks, Barnes and Nobles, Amazon, Lulu.com, or simply my website. My website has a store on it as well that will take you to those various sites for you to be able to download or order. And then also there's a request form on there to contact me. Or even if they just want to leave me some feedback, just want to reach out and say hi, that's available too. But Angela Marshall, Augusta, Georgia, is the way to find me. And thank you again for allowing me on the talk show with Angela Butler. I appreciate it so very much. And, you know, blessings and nothing but continued success to you and your listeners.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for coming on Show
thank
Talk
you.
With Angela Butler. God bless you, Ms. Marshall. You're welcome to come back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, everyone, I want to talk about something, and this is not out of hatred, racism, prejudice from me. But I just want to say something. Amazon bans Nation of Islam books on history of Jewish abuse against blacks. Okay. This was written by, apparently it was written by Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I just want to say one thing. Facebook does censor. Amazon banned. And I do believe this is the start of something bad, like Bobby Ray Livingston wrote, Facebook sent Amazon bans. This is the start of something bad. I believe that. I'm not a member of the Nation of Islam. I do agree that he did wonderful things for tens and tens of thousands of black men, though that's undisputed. But it's not. I'm not looking at Farrakhan, what he represents and what he stands for, but like I say, you cannot deny the great things he did for black men. But Amazon bans the Nation of Islam with the history of Jewish abuses against blacks. Okay, we all know there's a history here in America and Germany and different places. We all know that some of the United States of America things that they did, even Hitler creamed that to black people. Okay, I'm not a racist. I'm not putting down Jews. I'm not uplifting Minister Louis Farrakhan either. But if they're doing this, whose name? I mean, the censoring, the Amazon, you know, this about Russia and censoring. Well, everyday people are being censored. And Amazon is banning books and things, you know. So who's next? How many people are next with them doing this? This is not about racism. This is not about religion to me. What it's about to me is that they're censoring like they used to do the media. Well, they still censor the media. Well, anyway, everyone, get back to me on that and tell me how you all feel about them banning books for Amazon and Facebook censor. Do you think it's a good idea because of the Russian interference in the election, or do you believe it's uncalled for? I'm not talking about racism. I'm not talking about this study. Hey, I'm talking about the censoring and banning book in Amazon. How do you all feel about that in this technology-driven world? I'd like to know your opinion. My email is AngelaButlerShow@gmail.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, iHeart, Spreaker, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio. All right, thank you, everyone.